successful entrepreneurs are the ones who get up after getting knocked down and figure out a way, even when it may seem impossible. Call it. These are the odds.
Used to be employee. These are the odds. I gotta make it and make it. I gotta make it and make it. Woo! I gotta make it and make it, man. These are the odds. And these are the odds.
You're listening to
Call In with Colin.
Hello and welcome to the Call In with Colin show, where you get to call in from anywhere in the world and ask Colin anything that you want. I'm your co-host Digital Jeff, and today we got a special guest calling in from Boca Raton, Florida. He goes by the name of Aaron Singerman and is the founder of the biggest, baddest, and fastest growing supplement brand in the world, Redcon One. We're gonna go into how he's been able to build this empire, starting from only 5 employees, going all the way to now over 150 employees, and he's expanded to over 80 countries around the world. Don't get too intimidated, because we're gonna go back into his roots and how you can actually do it yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Aaron Singerman to the show.
My first question for Colin, I've started a multi 9-figure business. Colin started a huge business. And along the way, every entrepreneur runs into difficulties. No matter how successful you may seem on Instagram or social media, life throws you punches to the face. No matter how good you're doing, you're going to get hit eventually. And so, Colin, I was going to ask you, in your business history, what's the biggest thing that's happened to you where you felt like you got punched in the face and you weren't sure if you're going to be able to get up, or the biggest struggle that pops in your head?
Yeah, well, several, man. And it's going on currently, right? Like, look at the inflation cost. Steel right now in that industry, we're up 387%, and we're buying direct from the mill, right? So I imagine my competitors are 450, 500% increase, because they're buying it from a distributor to a broker. And more than that, the challenges have been outside of my control. I can't control the steel, and nobody can predict that. And the challenge is you don't even know how to pre-plan, because quarter after quarter, there's no historicals for this type of inflation. And at some point, it's also challenged where I can't even find freaking steel. And I'm buying into November from all the way up in Minnesota. I'm buying from different steel mills that I've never bought. So now I've got inflation. I've got transportation LTL to get it to me on top of that. And I'm already buying steel more than a quarter in advance just to make sure I have enough. So these type of control measures, it's a lot easier to control something that you've got some form of control over. But when you look at what's happening economically, those are challenges that at some point you're going to have to figure out, like pivot. Right now we're getting into, last November we started selling shirts. So we're selling about 100,000 shirts a month. And people think Redline Steel, it's just steel products, but we sell a shitload of canvas steel products. We're about to get into welcome customizable doormats. And so pivoting and trying to force things outside of just steel, because it's hard for me to even find it to begin with. I'm curious, what about you, man? Because I'll say this for entrepreneurs, guys, if you're just starting out, it's going to make you 10 times better in the future. These setbacks are setups for your future. I've went through times where I'm like, how the hell are we even going to survive? I'm floating cash. I'm looking at liquidity. I'm trying to project out. And it's like, wow, what do we do? Somehow we just keep showing up every single day. And my mentality is just win the day. If I can win the day, I'm going to win the year, and I'm going to figure it out. But that's kind of that separating factor. So, but what about you, brother?
I think what you just said is important too, Colin. I just want to echo that, is that successful entrepreneurs are the ones who get up after getting knocked down and figure out a way, even when it may seem impossible, when other people would quit. The people who that truly are successful, because everybody goes through something. We're in unique times right now. And in fact, you brought up, we have supply chain issues. We have tremendous demand at Redcon One that we can't fill. So every month we're losing $3 or $4 million in revenue or more that we would have picked up. And thankfully the brand is still, we've been smart enough to prepare with multiple manufacturers. So we're still doing, we're up and to the right, and we'll have a well over 100% increase over last year. but we could have been much, much more. But that's not scary. What was scary was when COVID was happening, like right when COVID started happening, and I started thinking about, well, if we have a mandatory, you know, where nobody can do anything, or that the postage is shut down, or that the warehouse would be shut down, because as you know, Colin, a large part of our business is direct to consumer, and it was able to sustain us during COVID. We didn't have to fire anybody. I didn't have to let anybody furlough anybody, and very, very lucky. I didn't make any money. I lost money. I had to put money back into the business, but we survived because of that direct to consumer business. So when they started talking about having a lockdown where there would potentially be no mail, or at least no FedEx, and potentially not be able to have our employees work in the warehouse, I ended up buying, out of fear, buying 25 cots, 25 sleeping bags, wow, TVs, and was enlisting people to live in the warehouse and pack, you know, even myself to stay in the warehouse if I need to for 2 weeks, assuming that USPS would continue shipping, out of necessity, out of fear, because of the size of Redcon, you know, we need about $7 or $8 million a month to stay flat, to survive. So at the size of the business, it'd be, you know, I told my employees, hey, if this happens, you know, we're in trouble because I don't have enough money to keep the business alive for months with our burn rate. You know, it's not possible. So that was scary. And then, you know, I had a partnership dispute years ago in another business that seemed like the end of the world. And if I wouldn't have had that partnership dispute, Redcon wouldn't be here. I would still be with that other company and probably been miserable, and the company wouldn't be doing anywhere near what Redcon is. But when it happened and I was separated from this business that I built for 5 years, like all of a sudden, unexpectedly, it felt like it was the end of the world. But just like you said, it ended up being the beginning of a whole new, much better world.
Yeah. Yeah. And letting go, I think it's just like that, because you have so much inner belief in yourself, and you've been in the industry a long time. And as an entrepreneur, like, you start to, after you've done it a while, you start to understand that, like, look, I can go into any vertical, and that inner belief and that faith in within ourselves, like, you're opening gyms, you've got your new food distribution company, and you just think outside of the box, and you're thinking about a couple of things. This is the way I think of it when I look at you. You know your end consumer, you know your avatar, you know your distribution outlets, you know your fixed and variable cost of what has to happen in order to break even. You're looking beyond, if this were to happen, what's going to take place? And so that forward thinking, knowing I've got, this is my consumer, this is the other lines of area of focus that I can tap into, that could also be safety nets and fail safes and ascension models. So as we're acquiring customers at a higher end, every single year it's going to get more and more expensive. I can also push them into these other entities that feeds the ecosystem. So I think that's beautiful, man. I think you're a genius when it comes to that.
We've been very fortunate to have a business that the primary business, Redcon One, has been strong enough that we have enough of a fan base, an evangelical fan base, so that we opened the gym that you've been to kind of by chance, and then it took off, and then another gym, and then a recovery, and the meeting. So all these complementary businesses made sense all of a sudden, because I realized, hey, if people love Redcon this much and they're willing to, because they like the brand, buy the food, for example, you brought up the Redcon meals. Yeah. It just makes sense, you know. It just makes sense to give it a shot, and it's been really great. But I think you also said something important, Colin, about believing in yourself. That's, mm-hmm, I think the biggest key is being able to bet on yourself and believe in yourself, because a lot of people have a ton of self doubt, and a lot of people tell me a lot that, you know, how do you believe, how do you know you're going to succeed? And the truth is, nobody is born with that. You know, you have to build up belief in yourself, mm-hmm, and having success certainly helps you believe in yourself. But I tell people that even if you don't naturally believe in yourself, if you pretend, you know, I hate the fake it till you make it thing, but there's a lot of truth to that. If you believe you're going to succeed, if you really in your heart believe it, chances are you probably are. And certainly if you believe you're not going to succeed, you almost certainly are. Yes. That is a big, big thing.
100%, man. And I think that also, like, ask, speak, believe, receive. I believe that when like a key, let's say a key executive or a manager leaves your company, it used to like stress me out big time. And now I'm just comfortable in uncomfortable situations. It's crazy because, like, I believe, one, that so many doors have opened that to me it's divine. I you know, maybe it's just God's blessing has been bestowed. I show up every day. And I feel like it starts to become, because it's you know, we're almost 6 years old. Actually, we started our company the same year. And it's now become where I don't worry as much about the day-to-day. I know that somehow somebody's going to come in and this person that left is no longer needed. They outgrew their position. So don't stress about it. And then the next person that comes in, it's like, all right, I want to hire where I want to be, not where I'm at currently. And so I challenge my employees to always, like, you know, push forward. Like, I don't want to put somebody in front of you as far as like a leadership tier, because we have like multiple tiers just like you. I'm curious, on your side, how do you handle when let's say like a key leadership spot that's like a big decision maker? What does that look like mentally? Has it been easier as you're navigating? Because I'm sure earlier stages for me with Redline, because I started Redline at 26. I didn't have experience before this, but it would stress the shit out of me. I'm like, oh my God, how am I gonna, I don't even know how to cut these steel products. Now I got to figure it out. My main guy that was cutting, you know, and over time it's just been like, well, you know, hey, somebody else is going to come in, and they do. And I figured it out.
So for us, we've been really fortunate in the recent, you know, last year and a half or so. We have very little churn at the top levels, but we had, I think of one person, as soon as you started talking about it, the guy who really designed the look and feel of the brand, we call him Young Lawrence. Lawrence came on, he was one of our very first employees, and he really came up with the look and feel of the branding for the brand. And one day he came, you know, he started at like, I don't know, we're probably paying him like $15 an hour or something like that. And, you know, by the time we had this conversation, he was making, you know, about 100 grand a year or something like that. And he came up to me and said, hey, Aaron, I want to give my 2 weeks notice. And I was like shocked, because he was such a part of the brand. And I thought he loved the job. And I was like, man, why? And he said, I'm 27 years old. And, you know, I've always worked for somebody else. You know, I never worked for myself. And I always wanted my own design firm. And I've saved up my money. And I'm not married. I don't have kids. I think this is the right time for me to try to go on my own and give it a shot. If it's not now, when will it be? And I was like, well, fuck, man, I didn't want, you know, what can you say to that, right? Yeah. So I was like, well, what if I pay you more money? And he's like, no, man. He's like, I already made my decision. And like, it's not about the money. It's about being my own boss and giving it a shot and seeing if I can be like you and create my own business. And there's nothing you can say about that. And he left. And I was like, well, what now? You know, how the guy created the look of the brand, the feel of the brand. He created our brand book. Mm-hmm. And then JP, who's our art director now, applied for the job. And he is all as creative as Lawrence and way more organized. He's older, more experienced. He did commercials for, you know, Fortune 500 companies. And I looked at his resume and met him as a person. And I'm like, wow. And the crazy thing is, just like you said, you know, as great as Lawrence was, and I'm sure he's still doing great now, I haven't kept up with him. We ended up with a better person. And I wouldn't have ever found JP if Lawrence hadn't decided to go out on his own. And I hope Lawrence is kicking ass and making way more money and having fun. But here we are with JP, who's done a phenomenal job and brought the brand to a whole nother level.
Amen. You know what I love about this too is like, for me, like, and I've challenged some of my guys here because I love entrepreneurship just like you. I tell them like, David, like, dude, we need to create kind of a roadmap. I don't want to lose you, but at the same time, if this is what your goal is, I want to help you hit that goal. And I think that like reversing, so then they can also challenge themselves with, you know, time, distance, direction, no distractions. This is what we're trying to accomplish. They want to start their own business. I'm all for it. I'll freaking help you. But there's also a right and wrong way to do it too. And we've had people that, you know, has gotten confidence around me being a pretty successful entrepreneur, thinking that they can go and do it, and we make it look pretty easy, but it's not easy. And so it's just kind of a reality, but that's how you learn, is through those setbacks. But I love to challenge my employees. And truthfully, I love to see when somebody takes that leap of faith, especially like bringing up, man, I want to be like you. That's a good feeling, you know, as an entrepreneur to have that type of inner confidence to say, man, like, you're doing incredible things. I want to try it. You know, who am I to say, well, I don't want to stop you from, you know, not hitting your own personal goals. go for it.
I wish I had something at the time to tell Lawrence like that. But there's nothing you can say. If somebody says that, you can't be like, no, you shouldn't strive to be like me. Don't do that.
You know? Right. So. Exactly. But now you can become a lot more comfortable in those situations. I have, just like you, it's just something always comes into play. Do you have any advice for maybe an entrepreneur that's wanting to just first get started? They're first starting in their business, and it doesn't have to be, maybe it's their first one. What would you say that first kind of overall step is?
So the first thing I usually tell people is make sure that your product or service or whatever has some differentiating factor. Because like, for example, you'd mentioned you're selling tons of t-shirts now. If you would have just started with t-shirts, you never know where you'd be. You built a brand first. So like using t-shirts as an example, if my t-shirt is Redcon shirt is $19.99 and you're going to start a t-shirt company and it's just going to be t-shirts and you're going to sell them for $19.99, why would anybody buy your t-shirts, right? It has to be some differentiating factor, something that you stand for as a brand or something that sticks out, something you do different with the shirt or something, right? It can't just be the same as everybody else. You need to have some differentiating factor. Even when we started Redcon One and I had other successful, varying degrees of successful supplement companies, I knew if we wanted to be, you know, big, if we wanted to be really big and monumental and the biggest company in history, there had to be something different. It couldn't just be, you know, another whatever, another name that doesn't really mean anything, that doesn't stand for anything, a company that doesn't stand for anything, just sells supplements like everybody else. So that's the first thing, is that you have a good business idea. Hopefully it's something that you love or are passionate about, but then make sure that there's a reason. Why would anybody buy your thing, your gadget, your gizmo, whatever? It has to be different. It can't be the same as everybody else.
Yeah. I agree. And also to add to that, Aaron, I would also say like really know who your key demographic is. So then you know how to kind of reverse hack what that is. So, you know, I'm sure you've got kind of a key metric avatar. This is your perfect person on the male side and the female side. For us, it's predominantly women, 40 to 65 plus Christian conservatives, married homeowners. And that's really who we're trying to hone in and target on. But I think to kind of caveat to that, that's extremely important from a branding aspect and also like knowing who your end consumer is so you can keep them in mind. You can think about the copy, the creatives, the value propositions behind it, and knowing who you're targeting, you can speak directly to them a lot easier than just going super broad. I think I see that mistake a lot. They don't really...
I think it's important, Colin, because too many people want to be the thing for everyone, right? Where they go, I want to make this whatever gadget that's going to everybody appeal to everybody. So for Redcon, it's 25 to 34 year old males, right? And you know, that are pro America, blue collar, you know, kind of the what you'd think Redcon would be, pro military, etc. And we have a lot of firefighters, police officers, first responders, active duty, former, you know, vets that love the brand. So it'd be really easy to be like, well, we're doing really good with that. So let's pivot and try to get, you know, the Collins 40 to 60 year old women. And that would be great, right? But you need, that's a big group of people that I mentioned, right? Enough to sustain a multi-$100 million business, easy. So the one thing that I noticed, some people want to be everything to everybody. And sometimes with some things, you just can't be.
Yeah. Less is more. I say that all the time. Like, when you offer too many things, it's consumer friction. There's too much, like, what do I buy? And they walk out with nothing. So less is more. And I think the best thing is to test and just to jump in with both feet. Don't overthink it. Don't have that mentality of, oh, I'm gonna build out all of this perfect business plan with, it's gonna shift, man. I'm telling you, it's gonna shift 100 times. I'm sure your business has pivoted several times from when you first visioned it to where it is currently. And that's every business in existence, because the market and the world is constantly evolving and changing. You have to change with it or you're going to be left behind.
So, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. We're in a constantly changing situation. And if you're the same static as you were 6 years ago, you never change or adjust or adapt. There's no doubt that the world will pass you by. And we've seen that in sports supplements, where the big brands from when you were, you know, on the cover of every magazine, those brands are not, they're not doing it anymore. They're heading downhill, or some of them are gone altogether.
What do you love? If you had to pinpoint one thing about your impact at Redcon and what you do, what would that be?
I mean, from the customer side, hearing from the customers, so much positivity, and seeing, you know, our closed Facebook group, we've got 10,000 people in there that are all tier operators or part of the affiliate program. We have 30,000, but 10,000 plus are on the, so seeing the excitement over the brand is unbelievable. But for me here running it, you know, my job has changed so dramatically from basically being like the main operator to now I'm like the main coach. So seeing the teams get, you know, build out and things that they're, I mean, one of the things that's, it's like, it's a good and negative is we have the, you know, multiple meetings a week, but in the marketing meeting or even the sales meeting, in the marketing meeting, sometimes I'll hear stuff that they're doing that I didn't know that they were doing that is like awesome and exciting. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know we were even doing that. And it'll be, that's like, it's a double-edged sword. I love it, but I also feel like, damn, kind of passed me by a little bit. So there's a lot of good things, man. I have to be honest. All of it is fun. There's a lot of stress too, but we got kind of past the initial building phase, which is also one of my favorite things, is building and starting and having the excitement of building, into like a whole different kind of almost corporate phase where we have a lot of smart people. They're doing a lot of stuff that I may not even be aware of. So it's interesting.
No, that's, I love that too. Cause I'm the same way. Concept to reality, building it, watching it grow. But I love also seeing people take ownership and seeing them take something and run with it and not needing to ask for permission from everything. As long as there's integrity in mind and you kind of know the distance, direction, what our values stand for, owning it and then walking in and having everything pre-prepped. Because I, like you, we've got a very, very strict cadence on meetings with different tiers of leadership and same times of the week, and it's that cadence is extremely important to keep.
Yeah.
It's also a form of accountability, where not accountability from a negative side or a positive side, but knowing that there's visibility. I see it. Nobody wants to be that guy at the table that's like turning in a bad grade or something that's really, really shitty. Even if it's not their department, they don't want to deliver that news. And if they really respect you as an entrepreneur and as a business and as just a person in general, nobody wants to convey that. So there's more ownership. So I 100% relate to that. And that's very similar to where I'm at as well. So I'm curious, Aaron, if you were to die tomorrow, what do you want to be remembered for?
If I died tomorrow, I'd want to be remembered for being a good person, a good father, a good husband, you know, making a positive impact on people, on the world. You know, if I died tomorrow, I'd feel like I died too soon because I wanted to make a bigger impact, to be honest with you. But I mean, I think that I would leave a legacy, a very strong legacy behind with my three little boys and all the people that we've been able to touch through Redcon and I mean, that ultimately, that is what's important to me, is making that big impact on the world. And, you know, Redcon is, I think, for me, the first step towards doing that. So I sure hope I don't die tomorrow so that I can make that impact.
All right, guys, if you got value from this episode and you loved it, then do me a solid favor. If you haven't already, be sure to leave us a 5-star review. It's a simple ask, and it helps us spread our show to so many new viewers. If you also got value from this and you want to see it on video, go to our YouTube channel, Colin Wayne. You'll see the show, Colin with Colin. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, a brand new episode is here just for you. If you want to be on the show, go to invite.millionairecreator.com and you could potentially be on the show. Lastly, if you got value from this and want to share it with your friends and family members, we'll be randomly selecting those that tag us and posting it across my social channels. So thanks again for your support. We look forward to seeing you on a future episode of Colin with Colin.